On today's show, Alper and Shingun with a monster 21-12 night against the Nets and some really good perimeter defense. Kevin Porter Jr. struggling early in this game. How did he find his way back over the final three quarters, leading the Rockets and scoring with 31 points? Why was Jalen Green iced out of this game? And how did the Rockets collapse in the final 3 minutes? We're going to unpack all of that and more right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including YouTube. And as always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day, whether it's on the way to work, on your lunch break, in the gym. Thank you for making LOR part of your day every day. Joining us now to discuss the Houston Rockets' really competitive but unfortunate loss against the Brooklyn Nets, 123-114, is none other than Madison Moore. You can follow on Twitter at MadManLeaks. And Madison, this was a hard-fought, competitive game. The Rockets were leading this thing 110-105 with 3 minutes left to play, and then they collapsed in utter fashion down the stretch of this game. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but I want to throw things to you right out the gate here, and I want you to drive the bus here for a minute, because Alperen Şengün had a pretty monster evening. We saw some defensive flashes from him. We saw him active on the glass, but we also saw Kevin Porter Jr., who had a phenomenal evening after a really, really abysmal start to this game. He started 0 of 5. At one point, he was 1 of 7 from the floor, but he finished as the Rockets' leading scorer with 31 points on 11 of 22 shooting. He had 9 boards, 6 assists, was locked in on defense after a couple early, really egregious plays on that side of the ball. Who do you want to deem our Locked On Rockets player of the game? I'm going to put all the pressure on you in this one.
I have to go Alperen Şengün. Okay. I feel like the offensive rebounding, they both had excellent games, but I definitely got to go Alperen Şengün. I felt like in the third quarter, some of the offensive rebounding and putbacks and showing his strength down low, him hunting the mismatches and his team doing a very good job of understanding that they were switching and getting him favorable matchups.
The entry passers were so good this game from everybody. Jalen was doing a good job. Kevin was doing a good job. Jabari, everybody was recognizing when the mismatches were happening and how to get him the basketball.
I mean, and this is something I feel like the young Rockets have struggled with, is recognizing a weakness in an opposing team and attacking that weakness. And their weakness is guarding Şengün in the post, and their size, their lack of size. Other than Claxton, they're a very small team.
Even with Claxton was getting rocked early in this game. Like Şengün scored on him like 3 straight possessions in a row early. He was at one point, Şengün was 5 of 5 for 10 points by the end of the first quarter. And like 3 of those buckets happened against Claxton.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And so, but it's refreshing to finally see the young Rockets understanding a game plan, having understanding, hey, this is what's going to work in this game, and let's do that over and over again. And Alperen Şengün produced at a very high level. I thought some of his skip passes on the double teams were excellent. I thought his defense was not perfect all the time, but it was pretty good. And I thought he had some really good heads up steals. He had the steal against
the Chris Paul steal, right where he snuck up behind.
Yes.
I mean, oh my God, those types of steals. I loved watching Chris Paul pull that when he was with the Rockets for those couple of years. He still does it to this day. It's one of those like crafty heads up plays where you're just like, oh man, it's such an easy gimme. And he almost went coast to coast with it and got an easy 2 on the other. And he wanted to go up for the slam and got fouled instead. But I mean, man, what a play.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I say. He affected the game in so many different ways, and even on one of the pick and rolls, he kind of jumped the guard, and it caused a foul by Kevin Porter Jr. But it really looked like it was supposed to be a jump ball, and it was because he jumped and surprised that screen, and that was instinctual because he was in drop the entire game. But that in that moment, he just understood that, hey, I can surprise him here. And he kind of trapped him on at the nail. And that was, I thought it was really encouraging to see. And I'd like to see more of that from Alperen Şengün and our defense. I think we should allow them to trap the top of those screen and rolls sometimes.
Well, one of the things that they did too with Alpi in this game, and I was taking notes as the game was going on, they allowed, and maybe it was less allowed Alpi to switch and more just the Nets were really good about trying to hunt that mismatch against Alpi. Mm-hmm. And there were multiple opportunities this game where Alpi got switched onto Mikal Bridges on a possession where he D'd up Mikal Bridges twice in one possession and stopped him both times, once right at the rim, and then he forced him out on another, or forced him into a tough shot on the drive.
Yeah,
same possession. Elsewhere in the game, he got matched up with Cam Johnson on a possession out on the perimeter and forced Cam Johnson to pass out of the drive. And then he had another one where he was matched up against Spencer Dinwiddie, and he got low in a defensive stance, right? He got really wide with his arms to take up as much space as possible. He was crowding Dinwiddie so that he couldn't cleanly shoot over the top. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is Alpi funneled Dinwiddie to the baseline directly into Jabari Smith Jr., who was waiting at the basket. Those plays and those little moments of Alpi show me that they could be so much more creative with what they do with him defensively. It's not a fatality the moment he gets switched onto a wing player or a guard, right? It's not a guaranteed bucket. I think Alpi needs to be trusted more by this coaching staff or by the future coaching staff, whoever it may be next season, to do more things defensively. And this is what we've been clamoring for all season, is they've been so just content to play him and drop over and over and over. Tonight should be, five games left in the season, so how much more are we really going to see? But tonight should be the example that they can point to and be like, look at how Alpi handled himself in some of these matchups, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving him my player of the game. I thought he was just good on several levels. I like the flashes we've seen from him defensively. I'm definitely with you. But, you know, Kevin, I thought what was most important to me, his first quarter was terrible. And yeah, it wasn't about making or missing shots. It was about the thing that the team had been highlighting, not getting calls and not getting back on defense because you're complaining to the referees. And it just disrupted the flow of our offense the entire first quarter.
He had that one drive where he thought he got fouled, turned around, was complaining to the referee. Nets are out in transition, and I think it was Dorian Finney-Smith who got a wide open three-pointer because KPJ wasn't even across the half court line. And I don't know if Steven or one of the other, or John Lucas said something to him in between first and second quarter in that little break between quarters. But after that, because I think he was 1 of 7 in that first quarter, was his, end of his stat line in the first quarter. No assists, 1 of 7 shooting, 2 points, really, really bad performance overall, struggling defensively. He completely turned it around over the next three quarters. So we do want to talk about KPJ, his game, how he turned this thing around, as well as what happened at the end of this game and why the Rockets collapsed, allowing what was an 18-4 run over the final 3 minutes of this game against the Nets. Also, what Steven Silas is doing to Jalen Green and how egregious it is that Jalen Green had what could have been a really impressive night shut down because he was taken out of rhythm in this game. We're going to get to all of that and more in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. Look, Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is the best mobile game I've played in a long, long time. I've always thought I could be a great NBA GM, and turns out it's actually not as easy as I thought it would be. If you've ever had the same thought and fantasized about managing your own basketball franchise, go and download Ultimate Pro Basketball GM right now. The game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty in the simulation you're responsible for, dealing with challenging personalities like players and coaches, coaches, hiring the right coaches and assistants, trading and training players and making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency, the draft, and all the ups and downs of an NBA season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want, when you want to. Look, me and the other Locked On hosts have already made ourselves a little basketball league. We've been super competitive in there. We're already a few seasons deep. There's a lot of trash talk going on. It is a ton of fun. Locked On Rockets listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when you use promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to go check it out. I know you're going to love it. I certainly do. To download the game, just visit probasketballgm.com, scan the QR code, or look it up on the App Store. That's probasketballgm.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Madison, it felt like the Rockets were going to win this game, man. And we wanted them to win this game because had they won this game, the Nets are fighting for their playoff lives right now out in the Eastern Conference. And the Rockets do still own that swap right on the Nets pick. So, God forbid, you know, pray for Victor, all that good stuff. If the Nets find themselves in the draft lottery, however small the percentage chance is of their pick to leapfrog the other 13 teams and jump to the top four of the draft lottery order, I mean, that's another chance for the Rockets. Like, worst case scenario, right? Maybe their pick falls down to pick six or pick seven. If the Nets pick is in the lottery and leapfrogs all those other picks, then the Rockets could still theoretically swap with the Nets pick. So winning this game would have been big for that reason. So it's really disappointing that he lost for that, but also just because the Rockets played a really good game. Like, they played well enough to win this game, and then they just completely broke down in those final 3 minutes, could not get anything to go offensively, and then they could not find a way to stop the Nets, who just started raining three-pointers to end this game.
Yeah, it really sucks. I mean, throughout this season, we've kind of come accustomed to expecting the Rockets to lose, and we're kind of numbed our feelings toward losing, but this one felt like we really were going to win this game. I felt like the Rockets were largely in control for most of the game, even though it was close. You just felt that they were in this game, they were fighting hard, and they were fighting from two to 4 points ahead most of the game, right? The ebb and flows of the game. And once we got down to inside the 4 minute mark, it seemed like the momentum was really shifting our way. We seemed like we were on a roll. We were maintaining a 3 to 4 point lead. And it just felt like everything was going right. And then they just caught fire from three. You know, it started in transition, but
It hurt because that first three to put them back out in front, or I apologize, not back out in front, but to cut things to a one possession lead.
Yes.
It was 110-105. That first three that Royce O'Neal made just under the 3 minute mark, Jalen lost track of Royce O'Neal in transition and he nailed the corner three pointer. Then you come back down, you know, a couple possessions later, Cam Johnson hits a three pointer. Yes, you come back down. Nick Claxton makes a layup under the rim. And by then you're looking at, you know, the Nets have swung it. It's an 8 point swing. They're on top 3 points at this point, 113-110. They go back and forth a few more possessions, and then Royce O'Neal bombs yet another three-pointer to give them a six-point lead. And it's just at that point, that last Royce O'Neal three to make it 116-110, I was thinking, okay, this feels like it's probably game over. And then Kevin came down and hit what looked like it was going to be a huge three to cut it to a one possession game. And turns out his foot was on the line, so it counted as only a 2-pointer. Mm-hmm. He gave him like a very quick hesitation move and then just elevated. And as soon as he let the ball go, I was like, oh, that's going in. And it went in and we lost it. But then 2 point only, so it was 116-112. And it's just, you know, they were fighting from behind the rest of the way and just could not make up the ground.
Right. I just felt like the Rockets fought really hard in this game, and then they caught, and they did close out fairly well in the fourth quarter, but it turned around so quick. Those threes started to fall for them so quick, and before you know it, the good feeling of like, hey, we're in the lead with under 4 minutes to go, and now we're about to lose the game. And so that was very disappointing, right? And the Rockets just have to make their free throws and their three-point shots. Like, the Rockets would have comfortably won this game if the guys made their free throws tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if you pick either, right? Like, I mean, say they were 13 of 21 at the free throw line in this game. Jalen really struggled at the charity stripe, just 4 of 9 shooting. Like, he got there a bunch, but he did not convert at a decent clip whatsoever. And then, again, you shoot 30% from three-point land, but you still manage to stick in the game because you gave yourself so many chances, so many opportunities with all the second chance, all the offensive rebounds that were generated in this game. The Rockets had 20 offensive rebounds in this game. Alperen Şengün had 8 of them by himself. Like, they were crashing the offensive glass all night, giving themselves second, third, fourth chance opportunities throughout this game. So even though the Nets had the math advantage, they shot 17 of 35 from long distance, 48.6%. Like, the Rockets were in it simply because they had so many extra opportunities over the course of this game to try and stick in it. And it feels extra bad because really, for Kevin to have turned this game around the way that he did, to have been so rough in that first quarter and then have such a phenomenal game across quarters 2 through 4, it really stings because it's like he had a really, really solid game. Again, his full stat line, 31 points on 11 of 22 shooting, 4 of 10 from three-point land, 5 of 5 at the free throw line. He had 9 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, and only 1 turnover in his 40 minutes of play. I mean, that is really impressive for any player, but especially for Kevin to start the game as rough as he did. I really thought we were on our way to another, like, vintage, like, oh, here's KPJ doing too much again. And then he locked in, and it worked. And again, he was spearheading the charge for the Rockets all night, leading scorer, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's still was able to score at such a high rate, but still get guys involved. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I thought was so important. You didn't feel like anything after the first quarter. First quarter, he did start to get into some early shot clock threes that he missed, tunnel vision stuff, but he got all that together. And that's what I was trying to kind of allude to in the first seg, was that was what was impressive, is KPJ got back on track and he scored within the flow of the offense, and he also got other guys involved. A lot of Josh Christopher's stellar play in that third, in the top of the fourth, came off KPJ penetration. So I thought that was excellent for the young Rockets. And I was glad that we kind of got away from those Dacian Nix minutes in the
hey, man, I look, Dacian Nix with only the 7 first half minutes. Like, I had looked up at one point in the fourth quarter, I was like, oh, no Dacian. Like, I realized it about, you know, a couple minutes in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh, he hasn't played since the first half. Wow, we're not getting second half Dacian Nix minutes. And shout out, right, to your point, Josh Christopher, who was phenomenal off the Rockets bench. He had 14 points on 6 of 10 shooting, missed his only 2 threes, but was also 2 of 2 at the free throw line. He had 4 assists and a steal. Like, Josh was incredible in this game. He and KPJ specifically played really well off of one another in those minutes they shared, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, very impressive. And once Josh gets an advantage and gets downhill, he's an excellent finisher at the rim. And so a lot of his advantages were created off of KPJ, which kind of already had the defense in flux, giving those lanes, opening those lanes up for Josh. And he's an excellent finisher, that big body. And
because Josh doesn't need much, right? Like, as soon as, like, KPJ would get the defense kind of on tilt with the initial, like, attack, and then dish it to Josh. And then Josh is already attacking an unsettled, or, you know, an unset defense. And then by the time Josh gets one or two dribbles going, like you said, I mean, I've been saying it all season, when Josh gets going downhill, he is really hard to stop, whether that's in the half court and he gets going downhill, or he's like a freight train in transition. When he can get a full head of steam, it is really tough to stop him. He's got that ability to, he makes this, like, weird, like, sweeping finish layup, like, over the top of defenders that are bigger than him. And it doesn't, for some reason, I still don't think it's going in a lot of the time when he attempts it, but he actually makes it. He converts on that shot a fair bit. And he's also got his, like, patented, like, pull up midi to go to. So at this point, Josh is becoming a really consistent, bona fide bench scoring threat for this Rockets club.
And the force is huge. I mean, that's one of the things that we've wanted to see develop in Josh's game. We all know you can score, but we need you to be able to, with that great creation ability, make plays for others. And we've seen some very good passes from Josh today that I have not seen over the course of his career.
I think my favorite one was the one he drove in and he had the ball, and the defensive big came over. I want to say it might have been Claxton. I'm not sure. It might have been one of the bench bigs for the Nets. But he drew the big man over, and in my head, I'm like screaming, pass! pass because like usually like he shoots a contested shot when the defense comes over. And he had a couple of those this game, right, where he still made some really, you know, some quote unquote bad shots, but he got lucky. He made them. In this moment, though, he did the wraparound pass around the back of the big and he hit Al P right there. And Al P was able to go up and finish at the rim. That was incredible to see. Like, again, the vision, the awareness from Josh, in addition to, because we know that he's a bucket. We know that he can score, but adding the playmaking on top of that is going to do wonders for him as an impactful guy off the Rockets bench. Coming up, we got to talk about what happened with Jalen Green in this game. Just 14 points on 5 of 13 shooting, but he got off to a hot start. So who was the guy that slowed down Jalen Green? None other than Rockets head coach Steven Silas. We're going to get there in just one moment, but first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. We're in the final stretch of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team is going to win the NBA Finals this season. Right now, the finals odds give the Milwaukee Bucks as the favorites to win it all, plus 240, Boston Celtics at plus 330, the Phoenix Suns at plus 700, and rounding out the top five, Denver Nuggets at plus 800, and the Philadelphia 76ers at plus 1100. So for all those odds, be sure to code check out FanDuel. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet, up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, Jalen Green in this game, Madison, 14 points, 5 of 13 shooting, 0 of 4 from downtown, 4 of 9 from the free throw stripe. We already talked a little bit about his free throw shooting struggles in this one. The team as a whole, just 13 of 21 from the line, 61%. Al P continuing to struggle at the free throw line as well, 1 of 3 shooting. This one hurt because Jalen felt like he was off to a hot start in this game. Mm-hmm. And it was so perplexing to me because Jalen's the one who's looks really good in the first quarter. And yet KPJ was the one who played the whole first quarter. And that threw me for a loop immediately because I was like, okay, well here goes vintage Steven Silas with his substitutions. And not only, so Jalen was subbed out with about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. It was like a minute and a half, minute 45 left in the first quarter when he sat down. He didn't come back into the game until about 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. By then, he was completely iced out of the game, and the hot start was gone at that point. And that's the thing that has happened so much this season, where Jalen has a big start to the game or a huge third quarter, and Silas either doesn't recognize it in the moment or just makes this like, or it's like he goes into the game with a predetermined, like, I'm going to run this rotation or this lineup, and I'm not going to deviate from the plan regardless of who's playing well or who doesn't have it going. It was like he went into the game deciding Kevin's going to play the whole first quarter, and I'm not going to change that regardless of how good Kevin and Jalen play separate, you know, amongst themselves. I don't know. It's frustrating because it felt like Jalen was on his way to having a really special game against the Nets, and then he got iced out and then really couldn't get back into rhythm after that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, Steven Silas has kind of changed and mixed up his lineup minutes over the course of the season so much. It's so hard for guys to find rhythm when they don't know when or how their minutes are coming, or, you know, when will be their time to attack. Players really have a routine or say, hey, this is my time to do this. Do I need to facilitate
the first quarter? It's my turn to cook.
Yeah, my turn to cook. But that is important for guys because they know, okay, this portion of the game, I'm scoring this portion of the game. I'm facilitating this portion of the game. This is what I'm doing. And I feel like these past like 5 or 6 games, KPJ has been finishing the first quarters, which is the opposite of what usually happens. Typically, Jalen gets the end of the first quarter. KPJ comes out with about 4 to 3 minutes left. And so it's been flipped. And it was especially weird tonight because KPJ was played so bad in the first quarter. But even when that occurs, typically whoever's taken out in the first quarter starts the second. And we didn't even get that. Like you said, we didn't even get that today. So Jalen doesn't have this opportunity to play without KPJ on the floor.
Jalen only played 32 minutes. That's the crazy part. KPJ played 40. He played the whole first quarter, and then he sat for about the same amount of time as Jalen. Jalen came back in with about 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. Kevin came back in like a minute later. So it's not even staggering, these two guys, where like you could understand, like, okay, he wanted to go with Kevin for the whole first quarter, then give Jalen more burn in the second quarter. They're not getting their reps away from one another. And this gets back to the argument that I proposed all season long. And Silas was even asked about this on the radio on the Matt Thomas show earlier Wednesday afternoon, asking why it seems like when Kevin has a good game, Jalen struggles. When Jalen has a good game, Kevin struggles. And it's because I just don't see them making each other better. In fact, when one of them has a good game, and this is more so the Jalen side of things, when Kevin has a good game, I feel like Jalen takes a back seat willingly. Like, Jalen just is not nearly as aggressive. He's not determined to get himself going as much. And we saw that happen in this game where, because Jalen had the strong first quarter and then he was iced out when he came back into the game, and that's when Kevin really started to kind of pick it up going into halftime, Jalen was just like, okay, Kevin's got it. I'm going to take a back seat. And I don't want to see Jalen take a back seat to KPJ ever in this offense. Even if Jalen is struggling, I still need to see him try to get himself going over the course of a game, because he needs to be the number one option.
I mean, 13 shots is unacceptable for Jalen Green. Like, just absolutely 13 shots in this game is ridiculous.
He was tied for the fewest shot attempts amongst the starters. Jabari had 14, so he had more than Jalen. Alpi had 16 shot attempts, and KPJ had 22 shot attempts of the starting five. Jalen should never finish tied for last in shot attempts amongst the starters. That is entirely unacceptable. And some of that's on Jalen. Some of it's on him, right? It is a mental thing for him where he is just not the same player when he's out there with Kevin. He becomes more passive, especially when Kevin's having a good game.
Right. And I think a lot of this also comes to Jalen is now starting to find shooters and understand how to use his driving gravity to find other guys. So I like that development in his game. I believe he had 5 assists tonight. He did do a good job of finding people and using those advantages, but we didn't get a lot of dribble handoff actions to get the defense kind of moving. They were overloading in the paint, making it tough for Jalen to get inside. And even when he got going in the first quarter, it was mainly off mid-range shots. You know what I mean? So in that in-between game. But Silas,
we did on that point, though, we did see a lot of empty corner action with Jalen and Shingun in this game, which was nice to see, because those empty corner sets really do help Jalen, whether it's an empty corner isolation, because he really likes being able to drive. And again, he can blow past the defender with so much ease. So if you give him an empty corner to operate out of, it works really, really well. But then also when you do the empty corner pick and roll, because the Nets were switching everything in this game, they made it a point to get the ball to Shingun on those switches. And so that also plays into why Jalen didn't get as many touches in this game, is because the Rockets clearly identified, hey, the Nets are going to switch everything, and we are identifying any switch that Al P gets on a Mikhail Bridges or a Cam Johnson or a Dinwiddie, whoever switches to Al P, get the ball down to Al P and let him go to work. And so I don't want to fault Jalen, I guess, too much for this game, because he was following the game plan.
No, exactly. I mean, it was very clear that the pick and rolls were designed to, once the switching started, to get the mismatch, right? And so Jalen wasn't attacking as much. He was more so following that game plan, and that contributed as well. And I will say, I think the Rockets generated good offense for most of this game. I think they got wide open shots from three that they just missed. And you know, that's tough. And Jalen has to make his free throws. If Jalen makes his free throws, he's probably right at his season average.
And then on top of it, we haven't mentioned his name yet so far, but I want to give a look. I want to just quickly mention. Well, I was, Watanabe, no. You know what?
Watanabe was getting cooked.
Watanabe was getting cooked. Claxton was getting cooked. I mean, they had no answer on the interior. I'll include Watanabe in the YouTube title just for the SEO purposes. No, but I was going to say, first off, KJ Martin actually really struggled early on in this game too. At one point he was like 0-3, 0-4, rough start for him. But then, you know, he found a way to fit. You just look up and KJ always somehow managed to walk away with, you know, 12 to 15 points. He gets, you know, 7 to 8 rebounds a game. the transition game's where it's at for KJ. Yeah. He's got that incredible touch with his left hand. Honestly, I think he might be the best offhand finisher on this Rockets team of anybody on the roster. Yeah. I don't think anybody else finishes with their offhand better than KJ Martin does. His touch with his left, it's honestly, he might have better touch with his left hand than he does his right hand at this point, at least in and around the basket. And then Jabari, who continues to put his head down, do the work. He's been so impressive on the glass, especially, right? So he walks away from this one, 12 points, 12 rebounds. At one point, you looked up, and he was like, he had 5 or 6 rebounds by the end of the first quarter. Really active on the glass in this game. A little bit disappointing that we're seeing his three-point shot start to regress again, but like you said earlier, there were some points, just like with Jalen, Jabari was finding his, you know, finding some shots in the mid-range. It's always good to see when he gets those opportunities. I'm not worried about him sinking them at this point because we've seen what it looks like when those shots do start falling. It looks really, really good. I'm not worried about the long-term aspect of him making those shots. I care more about the process and what it looks like, and it's looking a lot better at this point in the season than it did earlier, and that's where I'm at with him.
Yeah, like I said, Watanabe was getting cooked, and one of them was Jabari Smith in the mid post with the turnaround. And he was hype after that one. But yeah, man, KPJ, Jabari, and especially KPJ, they use those switches to target Watanabe because they have such great wing defenders. Once Watanabe got out there, it was barbecue chicken.
On that note, we're going to have the Rockets did take an L. They did not manage to walk away. They weren't able to take the dub against the Brooklyn Nets. So with that, we do have to do our due diligence here at I almost said it again, at Locked On Rockets. I almost did it. I almost slipped up. I've been doing Rockets Watch all day. I've been in that room for like 6 hours, and so I almost slipped up. At Locked On Rockets, which is
praying for Victor.
Rockets still have the second best odds on the Tankathon simulation. Madison, where do you think the pick's going to land?
Number two,
Scoot Henderson.
I'm always going for Scoot. Scoot is who I want.
You know what? I'm gonna say number two. I'm right there. We're in lockstep on number two. Let's run the Tankathon. What do we get? Oh, okay. Number four. Not the end of the world, but you miss out on the top three. Unfortunately, you walk away with an Amen Thompson or a Jairus Walker, maybe whoever you want to take at number four. Not the best because you miss out on the top three prospects. It's unfortunate. We've had some really rotten luck here with these Tankathon spins on our most recent episodes. But with that, Madison, you know the drill. Let everybody know where they can track you down at.
Yeah, man, come interact with me on Twitter at MadmanLeaks. We can talk Rockets.
That's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app. Free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.